Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. I have a good show for you today. Great show. I'm very excited to bring it to you. But before I get to that, let me get to some business. There's some shows going on this week that I'm playing, and I'd like to invite you to them. If you're in Austin, Texas, on Wednesday, March 6th, I will be playing with Liars and Saints, the band I have with Casey Crowley, Jeremy Nail, Pally Pal, and Joe Hummel. We play, rock music. We sing songs. It's great. Come on out. It's the first time we've played in a year. We're playing at Antone's, 9 o'clock, Wednesday, March 6th. Then Thursday, I'll be playing with Skyrocket out at Steiner Ranch. If you're in Austin, come on out. It's early. And Friday, March 8th, I'll be playing with Skyrocket at Hanover's in Pflugerville. So if you're in the Austin area, you want to catch some shows, go on out to those. You might want to go out before it gets a little crazy, because if you don't want to go out to the crazy, because South by Southwest is around the corner, and I have some good news about South by Southwest. I will be at the awards show on the Wednesday of South by Southwest interviewing people, so I'll be bringing you an awards show the week after. So look out for that. I'll also be interviewing a whole lot of people. I'm going to be running around doing the interactive thing. I'm going to go on some podcasts. Oh, well, wait. Let me tell you what I did this weekend. I went to Houston, played at Rockefeller's on Friday with Skyrocket at the Rockefeller Hall. Great show, great crowd. It was crazy. We had a great night. And the next night we played at a fundraiser gala at the Museum of Natural Science, which was really awesome. It's like dinosaur skeletons everywhere and a butterfly thing and geoids and planets. A lot of planets, and combustion engines. So we had a great time. I came back on Sunday to Austin in time to go on the Charlie Hodge Show on the Hodgecast. And I had a great time. Look for it. I don't know what number episode it is, but it's the Charlie Hodge Show, the Hodgecast, and it'll be Monday, March 4th. We had a great conversation. I had a good time talking to him, and I always laugh. He makes me laugh a lot. I have a great time. I'm actually doing a live thing with him during South by Southwest. And I'm excited about South by Southwest. I've got a lot of interviews lined up. I'm going to have a lot of people on the show. I'm going to the awards, and I'm going to do interviews at the awards backstage with people that won and people that are hanging out. So, you might want to follow me on Instagram. I'll be posting a lot of pictures from that and from the whole week. It's at Johnny Gowdy. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, at Johnny Gowdy. And I'll be posting some stuff to the How Did I Get Here Facebook page, so you can go like that. And let me remind you, if you're listening to this and you like the show, and maybe you come down every once in a while, if you want to subscribe, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it there. And while you're there, rate the show and also leave a comment. The reason why I'm saying that is that works into our overall ratings on iTunes. And we're trying to reach out, try and start getting some advertising so that this show will remain free for you. So if you can, and you want to, or you subscribe on iTunes, go back there and rate it, and leave a comment. So, thank you. That will really help us. And don't forget to come to the shows this week if you can, and check out the How Did I Get Here Facebook page. I'll be posting a lot of pictures and on Instagram during South by Southwest. It's going to be crazy. All right, you guys. My guest today is my very dear friend and actually the very first guest on this show on episode one, 150 episodes ago. My guest is my friend Susanna Schaufel. She has had a great year and a half since she was last on the show. I'd love to take credit for it, but I don't think I can. She was on The Voice, and she's been on tour a lot. She just came down to Austin to play some shows before South by Southwest. So I texted her and asked her to be on the show. She said yes, and it turned out it was her birthday, so I got her a little cake. No, I didn't make her a cake, but I got her a cake, and some gifts, and we had a little chat, and then a little off mic chat for a while she ate some tacos, and we caught up, and it was a great time. I really love Susanna. I've always been a huge fan of her music. I've always been a huge fan of her as a person since I met her, and she's a great person. She was in my very first all-girl band that I had. She played guitar in it. That was very, very fun. And she's someone you can trust, both with your, you know, your heart and your thoughts and feelings, and also in music. So it's great. She's a great friend, a great music pal, and we have a great time talking. And I hope you enjoy our conversation. This is her fourth appearance on the show. She was the very first guest. Then she was on the very first live episode. She moved away to New York. She was on The Voice. She got off The Voice. You know, she got voted off or whatever. They chose another person on The Voice. And I talked to her from a telephone in Target. And yeah, all around, great Susanna. Always great. Fourth time on the show. Sit down. Enjoy it. My friend, Susanna Schauffele.
Love comes quick, grows strong and thick, with thorns and roses on the vine. It's hard to see easily when you and I are intertwined. So the story goes, one part gives, one part grows. So the story is, one part hurts and one part heals. And you will love until your heart is sore, my friend. And you will open up that door again. You will remember it as you did then. When, oh, when you are in love.
How old is that record now?
10 years? No, I'm just kidding.
That's what it feels like in my head, but it's like 2 years, maybe coming up on 2 years. 2011.
Wow. Okay.
May of 2011.
Okay.
So yeah, in May of 2013, it'll be 2 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And are you making a new album?
Right, I am not technically making a new album right now, but it is in the works for this year. So
okay.
I've been recording singles. So I've released like, last year, I released this song called Golden Fires.
And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I just released this song that Adrian Quesada produced called Guardians.
Yes.
So I've been kind of like putting them up on my Bandcamp. Just as fun little like keep it fresh for the fans, give something new.
Do you give them away?
I kind of give them away. They're pay what you want. So it's like if you're really broke, you can get it for free. But if you have some money to give, you know, it's kind of cool because some people will pay like $5 or $10 for one song, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Cool.
And that, so it kind of evens it out for those who can't really afford it. So, so yeah, it's like sliding scale music.
Invented by Radiohead.
Exactly.
Right? Didn't they do that?
No,
they
totally.
They were the first people to do it?
Absolutely.
They were what you want, man.
Innovators. Yeah. So I do have a record that is eventually going to be made this year. I'm just kind of working on all the details as far as who's recording it. I've been down like demoing a little bit with Danny Reich, the guy who produced my last one.
Danny.
I love him. I've also been, you know, talking to some dudes up in New York. So I might kind of do a combo deal where I do some up in New York and some in Austin. So.
Have a lot of doors opened that maybe weren't open before because of your appearance on television?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really amazing what TV can do for your little career.
Okay. So 150 episodes ago you were on, well, you were on since then, but.
Right.
150 episodes ago, you weren't even going to move to New York yet. Mm-hmm. Were you thinking about it and you just didn't say anything to me?
Maybe. I'm trying to think what month that was. We basically
like. It was like September 8th or something like that.
Okay. Then no, we weren't thinking about it until must have been the following year because we moved in August. No, I'm sorry. Wait. Did we do that in September 8th, like the year I moved to New York? Okay, then I did know about it, and I just didn't tell you.
That's all right. Maybe you just kind of, but you did tell me on the next episode when we did the Coveters.
Okay, yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So my very first guest, and this is your fourth appearance, and so much shit went down. You were on The Voice. You've been on the road. You've been traveling a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you like that?
I love it.
You do?
I love it.
You seem to have a good time on Instagram.
I do. Instagram is my friend
on the road.
Well,
it's cool because you can really kind of keep up with your friends and know like if they're...
It is. I like Instagram a lot. Some people tease me about posting too many photos, but I see it as a really non-invasive little photo diary of your day, because it's like, you know, Facebook is great, but you have to deal with all the words and the rants and the whatever, just, you know,
people's point of view.
People's point of view, which is sometimes really terrible. So Instagram is kind of a fun little, oh, cool, Suze is like in Cleveland and now she's going to on a walk in the snow. Oh, and now she's playing a show. And, you know, sometimes it gets boring, like, oh, now she's in her hotel watching Roseanne and she's taking pictures of that. So,
well, tell me how the whole voice thing came about. Were you invited? They invite you to audition?
They did. I got an email from the manager saying that they had reached out and wanted to do a private audition. So how they work, and I think this is kind of what sets them apart from other shows, is they do the big open call, but they also they seek people out. You know, I mean, a lot of my friends here have been sought out to audition, and I thought, what the heck? In fact, this is kind of cool we're doing this, because it was March 7th last year that I auditioned.
Oh, really?
Because I was coming down to do the film awards and South By, of course.
Right.
And so I was going to be gone for the New York audition, which was like March like 12th or something.
Right.
So they were like, hey, we're doing Austin March 7th. And I said, perfect, I'll fly down 2 days early and do it there.
Okay.
So it's kind of neat that I auditioned in Austin, even though I was living in New York at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I went and auditioned thinking nothing of it, just kind of like, okay, you know, here I go with my Adele song. I did Adele, Right as Rain. They wanted you to do one like with a canned music, you know, like karaoke,
because
they like to see how you perform. So I did Right as Rain, Adele. It was actually really fun. It's like that, who wants to be right as rain? It's like sort of Carole King feeling. Anyway, and then I did Sade on the guitar and Michael Jackson, Human Nature.
Whoa.
And then they asked me to do an original, so I did Hey Mister.
Wow.
And anyway, I got a call like I literally forgot about it. 3 weeks later, I get a call. Hey, you made it into like the first round where we fly you out to LA and see if the producers like you. Like you have to go and kind of like re-audition. They select, it's like their processes. They, you know, they narrow it down.
How many people are judging you?
Oh my God. Okay, so, well, the very first audition, there's like three people in the room. It's pretty chill.
And video.
And video. Yeah. They video you because they have to send it to the producers and be like, do you like this girl? And then once you get out to LA, it's like all the producers of the show. Like even...
is it Mark Burnett?
What's his name? Yeah, Mark Burnett is there.
No way.
Yeah, Mark Burnett. And I didn't even know like who was in the room, but it's basically all of them plus... why can't I remember his name? The guy who hosts the show.
Oh,
Carson Daly.
Carson Daly,
he's a producer, so he was in the... He's actually a really cool guy, by the way. Yeah. He's very sweet. But anyway, so you go into this room and you audition. And by that time, they had assigned me Landslide. They were like, I think they like knew that they wanted me to be kind of like the folk, you know, singer-songwriter chick.
Right.
Which I was totally cool with, because that's kind of what I do. And
they're putting together a show.
Absolutely.
It's not just a competition.
It's not,
But they're putting, I mean, because you got to make it watchable. And
absolutely.
I mean, it's the number one rated show on the night that it's on. So they're obviously doing the
right
thing.
They're doing something right, yeah. So yeah, so then I auditioned and then... I remember that audition, I thought I sucked. Like, I just had a really bad audition. I didn't think I was that great. And so I literally left there just kind of going like, oh, okay, I made it this far, but I didn't make it in the next round, whatever, no big deal. And then they make you wait forever. That's the hard part. It was like a month, you know, later where I was like sure that I hadn't made it.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Walking down Broadway in New York. It's kind of like the perfect scene. I was walking down Broadway and I got a call from them and they were like, congratulations, you made it. So, and then you fly out and then you still do the blind audition. So it's this crazy process. You have to be really like cool with all that.
What's the blind audition is when you're actually turned to you.
Yeah, yeah, totally. So it takes all that just to even get on the show to do the blind audition and then they might not even turn around and you know, you go home. So, but yeah, so it was fun though.
I like about that show is that they do get people that are, you know, already, it's not like a, you know, plucking somebody out of their waitressing job at Chili's.
Right, yeah.
Where they've like their friend's number one karaoke.
Totally,
you know,
totally.
I'm the best karaoke of my friends.
Right.
You know, they really do.
Yeah.
They get people that had deals and like.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Remember seeing someone on there that wrote some kind of significant pop song.
Well, there was this guy named.
Yeah.
Oh, God, what the heck
was it on?
Name?
It was on the season that you were on?
Yeah, he has one. He goes by like one name, and I'm totally forgetting it right now. But he has that song that's like, to the left, to the left, yeah, yeah, yeah. To the right, to the right. It's like one of those, it's like down, huge. Down, yeah, down, 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 yeah, down, yeah. Down, down. Yeah. Yeah. And he's awesome. He's real sweet. I actually met him, and it was a total like Southern hit, and it's like huge at weddings and stuff. And so he's been signed. Like CeeLo knew him. He like right, when right, CeeLo right. turned yeah, around, yeah. he was like, "I thought I knew you." Like, yeah. And then it's weird because he didn't make it on the show. You know?
I know.
But you know what I feel kind of bad about is I think they like kind of wanted him. They wanted him to do that song. He performed that song that he.
Right, that was what I remember, is yeah. that he came on and was like, I've been haunted by having this
yes,
song,
totally.
And then that's the song that he auditioned.
Totally, totally. Like,
wow, that's weird.
But I think they kind of made him do that
yeah.
And I felt kind of bad for him, because I feel like it didn't really allow him to show, like, maybe his true
right.
colors, his voice, you know, a little bit more. That's like a fun dance song, but it's not really like a vocal song.
How conscious are you that their backs are turned to you when you're up there singing? I mean, that must be pretty hard to actually perform when you're sitting there, like, and people literally are trying to make people turn around.
It's really weird, Johnny.
And
it is.
And it's CeeLo and Christina Aguilera and Blake Shelton.
It is the most surreal thing.
From Maroon 5.
Yeah. When Adam turned around, I was like, he turned around pretty quick, and I wasn't expecting it. And I just, like, if you look at the video, I have this, like, shit-eating grin on that yeah. just, like, breaks in. And I'm like, crap, how am I going to get through the rest of the song? Yeah. Adam Levine is looking at me really dreamily, and he's really cute. And no, anyway, it was fine, but it is the most bizarre thing you will ever do.
I can imagine.
As a musician. It's just strange. It's really strange. So, and for me, I always say, too, it was kind of weird for me, because I had this kind of, it's a low-key folk song, so I'm trying to kind of keep this sort of serene sort of posture, you know, and yeah. just sort of this like calm. And so I think for some of the other people who had these crazy big like pop songs, it was easier for them to stay in character when the
right.
people turned around, because
yeah.
they're supposed to be excited.
Yeah.
But for me, I was like, oh God, I gotta hold it together, because yeah. this song is really low key. And anyway, so it was weird. So, but.
So then you had to choose between Adam Levine and Blake.
Uh-huh, yeah. It was a hard decision.
That is a hard decision.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like, I don't know, because that really, you're somewhere in between those two guys.
Yeah, exactly. That's a really good
musically,
way to put it.
You really are.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people, like, looking back at it, it's funny.
You're not going to use a vocoder like
exactly.
this guy does, and you're not
right.
going to have a back-a-da-da-da-da-da-da song. You know what I mean? But somewhere in between.
But somewhere in between
is
where I reside. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Honestly, at the end of the day, CeeLo is the one that I am
probably,
feel
yeah.
most artistically like akin to.
Right.
Like, just in our ideals, probably.
Right.
And I love him, but he didn't turn around for me, and it's all good. Like, I decided going in that I really thought I wanted Adam. And then Blake started talking, and what he was saying just felt more like me, you know. He
yeah.
was, he commented on my guitar playing, and he was like, you just sound like this really original person and artist, and like you already know who you are, and I don't
yeah.
really want to touch that too much. I just want to like make you stronger.
Yeah.
And Adam was kind of, looking back at it, I sort of wish I had chosen Adam. I think Adam is one of those people who kind of turns more on his gut.
Yeah.
Like, he's just kind of like, this is cool, and he turns, but he maybe has a harder time like saying exactly
what yeah.
but he was
yeah.
kind of like, I remember him just being kind of like, that was just really refreshing. It was cool. I heard something that was very refreshing, you know.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, I think he may have gotten me more, and once I started to know who he was, like, sort of as a person, that he's kind of into a little bit more diverse music than Blake
right.
is, like, I think he might have gotten the Bob Marley a little bit more, you
right.
know.
He totally
yeah, yeah. But Blake was kind of like, who's Bob Marley, you know.
Right.
So, yeah. No offense, Blake.
So, Blake Shelton listens to my
show? He does, actually. I turned him on to it. He will now.
So, when you're there, I'm sorry to keep on asking about
no.
this, but there's a lot of like logistical things that I'm sure people think when they're watching that show, like, what's it? You don't stay there the whole time because you were going back to New York.
Right,
you
right.
You play shows, you're
mm-hmm.
still teaching.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. It's a weird schedule. It's like you're there for a few weeks filming, then they send you back home. Then you come back and do, like, your battle round. And I think once you're in the lives, you're, like, there. You know, obviously, you have to, because it's live television. But all the pre-tape stuff is, like, it's you know, they have, like, Blake's team would go out there first and do all their stuff. And then Adam's team would fly out and do their stuff. So it's
okay.
kind of like a schedule they have you on. But I was there, like, most of June. Then came back for a couple weeks, then was, like, there for 2 weeks in July, then came back, then was, like, 3 weeks in August. So it's, like, I was there for the better part of last summer, I would say. And then by September, I was totally back in New York. And it was really weird because I already knew that I was off the show.
Right.
And I couldn't say anything. You know, you sign all these contracts and stuff, so.
Is that pretty, there's a lot of non-disclosure, whatever, kind of like,
yeah.
I bet there is.
Yeah, you have to be very careful.
If someone came out and just, you know, blew away all the secrets of the show, that would be a drag.
Oh, it'd totally be a drag. Yeah, and they make your family sign it all, too. I mean, it totally makes sense, you know? It's like they're trying to create this cool surprise show, and, you know, if someone leaks something, then it ruins it, so.
So is there, do they do a tour, like a The Voice tour?
Yeah, they do, I think. In fact, I think they're about to, they only do it with like the top 10, I think, the top 10 artists. So so I think Nakia did it when he was, you know, because I think he made it into the top like 8 or something like that. But honestly, I'm kind of glad I'm not having to do that. It's no offense to
No, not at all.
It's just not really.
It's not really your world.
My world, exactly. I feel like I would really get bored singing. I think from my understanding, you have to sing like the cover songs or the songs you did on the show every night. And
well, here's another question. How did those songs do? Because I know they released them as singles like the day after the show does. Did you chart?
You know what? I don't think I ever really charted. I it's funny. I'm so bad about that. I didn't really follow it a ton. But I certainly, it was funny. I would watch the other kids on the show and they were like, I'm number 100 on iTunes. I think I made it like into the top 200 at times, maybe like 150, but
do you get performance residuals at all?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, little tiny smidgen, but you get something. Hey. And yeah, every bit counts. I'm really happy with my I liked my Dog Days Are Over track a lot, actually. It's funny, like I was really pleased with the way that one came out. And Landslide was fun because I actually got to play guitar on it, so it felt kind of more like my
songs,
you know.
That's just like one of the top 20 songs
exactly. So, no, I don't think I ever really, like, got super far into the, up the charts, but it's okay. You know, it's all good. I'm there.
Okay, so you finish this, and you walk away, and your audience grows and is more... Are you playing Landslide at... Like, you come off the shows, are you playing Landslide at the show?
I am playing Landslide at the show.
There's nothing wrong with
that. I love...
You gotta get these people...
You gotta give them what they want, man.
They're paying money to come see you play.
Exactly.
You like that song.
I love the song.
It's not like you have to sing fucking... I don't know. That now song. It's not like you have to do that every night. You know what I mean? Like, something natural to what
you do. No, absolutely. Like, if I had to sing, like... Katy Perry or what, you know, I like some of Katy Perry stuff, but I couldn't.
That's not your thing.
Not my thing. I enjoy singing Landslide and people go crazy for it. And you gotta love that. It's like, it's cool.
And so having said that, how much of that Landslide audience is buying like a steady eye shaky bow?
A lot, actually. That's what's been really cool to see.
That's great.
Is the trickle down of like people actually discovering. It's kind of funny because when I was on the show, they kind of made me look like this music teacher who just like popped out of nowhere and was like, I'm going to be a musician now. So,
but they also, that's an angle. They were going to, okay, well, this
will
be her
thing. They have characters
thing.
That they build, and I get it. I was fine with it for the most part. And so, but what you're able to do then, I mean, the reason I was fine with it is because I'm able to direct. The other thing that's cool about the
show.
As
your friend, I was a little bit offended because I was like, I know you teach, but I mean, geez, you're out there playing every night. I know.
And by the time I was on the show, I was barely teaching at all. It was like kind of teaching, but whatever. It's fine. It is a part of my story. It's who I am. I'm not like ashamed of teaching.
Right.
But, you know, they can't have everybody be like the indie rock star, singer-songwriter chick, because that would just be boring, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, what it was cool is being able to direct people like via Facebook or Twitter to my albums on iTunes. It was so funny because like to this day, people still be like, I can't wait till you release something. Like they just discovered me on The Voice. And I'm dude, go to iTunes. I know it's only two albums, but it's, you know, that's 20 songs of original material that you can go check out. And so then they get really excited and they're like, oh my God, I had no idea. And so it has definitely helped steer people to the steady eye shaky bow. So, yeah.
So then who books you? Do you have a booking agent?
I currently don't have a booking agent. Susanna Schofel books Susanna Schofel right now, but I do have a manager and
Susanna
I just
Schofel
switched management.
You did?
Yeah. I have this awesome, badass new manager, Nell Mulderry. She's in New York and she kicks ass. She worked for Blue Note for years. She's like really in the New York scene, like deep. And I kind of wanted someone like that now that I'm there. And so she's great. She's that's like her number one goal is finding me booking agent. So
Yeah. And so, but you're still playing a lot. I mean, you just did this tour with Hillary and Amy.
Yeah, Buckbrook. That was super fun. Hillary, yeah, I love those girls. We had a good time.
And
yeah.
And you're doing stuff on the West Coast, and you come down here and play like once every 6 weeks or so.
Yeah, yeah. I got to come back to Austin. And I'm going to Italy next week.
No way.
Yeah, that's why I'm not doing South By, is I got this crazy offer to go to Italy for Haagen-Dazs ice cream and be like a musical spokesperson. So it's kind of cool.
What happened with your chapstick thing?
Oh, I lost it. No, I'm just kidding. Get it? Right on, ching. I lost my chapstick. That was a weird like one-off thing where like I Charlie Fay actually posted on Facebook, hey, a friend of mine is a casting director and they're taking auditions for musicians for a commercial. Uh-huh. So I went to it. I was like, hell yeah, I'm going to like do everything I can here in New York. And I went and auditioned, and it was for a chapstick commercial. And so, and I made it, and they had me sing and perform this song that they had written, like a little jingle about chapstick. And it's just an internet commercial, but it was really cool and fun, and it was a great little, like, you know, experience.
I was very proud of you when I saw that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of chapstick, so if you need some, let me know.
I'm nothing against chapstick. I've got this bird's bees thing that I'm into.
It's all good.
And my
Johnny.
Lips are messed up. They're from all up. The wind, yeah.
I know, it's very windy. March is a great month to have some chapstick in your pocket.
Yes, it is.
Or some burpees.
And so, are you, you're going to Italy and you're going to play by yourself?
The interesting thing about Italy is I'm not actually playing while I'm over there. Check this out. This is the weirdest gig I've ever
gotten. Don't tell me someone's paying you to just go hang out.
Yes.
Fuck, that is my dream.
Someone is paying me to go hang out, eat some gelato, learn the gelato making process that Haagen-Dazs has, then come back and write a song about it to then be used in their awesome PR campaign. So
that is wicked.
Yeah, I'm
how
pinching
did that
myself.
Come about? Did you,
you know, I
audition
have no
someone?
Idea.
Someone pitch you some.
I'm talking to the people tomorrow, and the first thing I'm going to ask is how did y'all find me? Because I'm really curious because of the voice now. Are people finding me because of the voice, or are they still just kind of finding me because they found me, you know, and they like stumbled upon my music, or
even because of Catfish?
Or because of Catfish? Yeah, I've had a lot of weird little weird.
I heard
things
an interview
happen.
With that guy from Catfish.
Nev is his name, I think. Yeah. Well, it's a TV show now.
Right.
Yeah, so I'm getting a lot of interesting, like, Twitter activity about it. Like, oh my God, I had no idea Susanna's Tennessee Stud was in Catfish, and so that's fun. So.
You know, I played in the 100th episode where I played some of the greatest pieces of interviews. I played how you discovered that you were on that. Because
oh, cool.
The movie came out, or the movie
right, the movie was just
done.
About to come out, and then people were, like, texting me, being like, you know you're in this movie, and I was like, what? Yeah, so... Anyway.
Do you still get a little traction from that?
A little bit. I mean, people discover me through it, and then they go, like, look me up, I think. And,
it is weird when you're just watching a movie and your friend pops up
on
there.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
I know. My mom bought it the other day. She said she saw it for like on sale at like Blockbuster, and so she bought it. So now I can watch it whenever I want. But it's weird. It's cool, too, because it's filmed at Momo's, that part. So it's also kind of a little piece of Momo's history, too. So
little piece of Momo's.
Oh, Momo's.
So what are you, you're going to go to Italy, you're going to do this thing, and you've got some shows this week. Is that the 9th, Saturday?
The 9th, yes. Saturday the
March
9th.
March 9th at Threadgills.
That was cool. We did that in sync. With Matt the Electrician, I'm playing at 9, and he's playing at 10:30, I think. And I'm going to have the boys with me, Mr. Kyle Thompson on drums, Johnny Vogelsang on bass, and Chris Gebhardt on guitar.
Yeah.
So it's not going to suck.
I renamed Chris on Saturday night, two nights ago.
Would you rename him? Because Rusty is also his nickname.
The Commander.
The Commander?
I like
I love
that
it.
So much better.
That's great.
It's better than Rusty.
The Commander.
It's a red-haired guy named Rusty. Come on. Give me a break.
I know. It's so cliche.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. Let's go. The Commander.
So what's the Commander all about? Why?
I don't know. I just looked at him.
That?
And I was like, welcome the Commander.
I'm going to call him that on Wednesday at rehearsal.
Tell him. This is the thing.
Okay.
And so what are you going to do when you come back from Italy? What do you have on the horizon?
Eat some ice cream. No. okay, so after Italy, I get back to New York, and what do I have going on?
What if you start doing this, like, in a Lohan way, which is, you know my cousin Emily, right?
Yeah, yeah.
One day, Emily called me, and she said, fucking Lindsay Lohan is getting paid $1 million to have her birthday at this hotel in Vegas. And I was like, oh, why are you mad about it? And she's like, this is what we need to be doing with our lives.
She's like, why aren't we
show up to parties and get paid for it?
And get paid for it.
But it's not necessarily a party. You do have to do something.
I do have to do something. Something is required of me, but, you know, it's what I do. It's write music, so it's not bad at all. And I really need to get back in the studio. That's my thing. That's, like, my goal. But
do you feel any pressure? These guys are going to fly. I mean... Personally, I get wigged out, and it maybe just lasts a little while.
Right, yeah.
But, like, I would be there, and they would be being real nice to me, and it would be as I was walking away going, like, oh, my God, now I have to do something.
No, it did just hit me the other day. I was like, oh, yeah, I have to write a song when I get back, and what if I can't write a song? What if it sucks, you know? And I turn it in, and they're like, I'm sorry, we can't do this, and give us the money back from your Italy trip.
Yeah.
Hopefully I'll be able to come up with something, but I have been writing a lot, Johnny. So I think that, like, that part of my brain is sharp right now. So, yeah.
So, tell me about this. You're going to come back, probably do some more demos.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have some kind of idea what your next album is going to be like? Are you going to take a departure musically from what you've done?
I think it's going to be, I feel like my first album was kind of like a little mix of, like, folk and jazz and R&B, and the second one was getting a little bit more towards pop, and, like, really Danny did such a cool job with, like, the arrangements, and we added a lot of, like, cool, like, old analog synths and, like, horns and lots of fun stuff. I think this one's going to be sort of a little bit more low-key, and it, like, or I shouldn't say low-key, I should say a little more sparse in arrangements, because what I feel like I want to get back to is essentially the voice and like bring, I mean, I know that sounds really silly.
Sorry.
It's all coming full circle, because of the TV show. anyway, I think that sometimes I tend to get too involved in the music, and I love the music. I'm a musician and I just love, like, hearing cool sounds and stuff, but
adding
more stuff,
making a wall of sound. Exactly. Yeah, I get caught in that too.
And it's really fun to do that. And then you realize, wait a minute, the whole, like, kind of point, or what brings people to my shows and my music, I think, from what I gather and what they tell me, is my voice and my...
No, it's the auxiliary synthesizer parts that come after the bridge. No, I'm joking.
Exactly.
No, it is your voice. And that's a good...
You know...
It's cool to recognize that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that that's, like, a really... You know, whatever. You just don't want to miss the point on all that. And so I think I want to bring it back just, like, a little more intimate. That's all. Like, I still love groovy little instruments popping in and out and things that make your ear kind of go, ooh, that was cool, you know? But I think at the end of the day, I really want this next album to be more just an intimate, you know, capturing my voice... Whatever the little, like, melodies and songs, songwriting things I do that are what I do and make it unique and not get too lost in the wall of sound, like you said, you know. So
I like that you have a good connection to who you are as an artist.
Thank you.
You have a very defined thing.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, it's really good.
Thanks,
you know,
ma'am.
It's not like. I could see you getting influenced by something, but when it went through you, you wouldn't sound like it. You would still sound like you, just informed by something else. Does that make sense?
That's really cool. Yeah. No. And that's always been my problem, is that I guess it's sort of a problem to have. I listen to so many styles of music and I'm influenced by so much that Danny was making fun of me because we sat down recently and he's like, so, okay, so what do you want your album to sound like? And I was like, okay, this, and this. Have you heard this new album? Okay, I love this. And then have you heard this new album? And, like, I just start, and he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. He's like, okay, that's a lot of different things you just mentioned, and genres and sounds. And so I really have to kind of slow down and go, okay, I do love all these things and I love the way they do influence me, but how do I want Susanna to sound being informed by all that, you know? Yeah. So it's a hard thing to
imagine
to ask yourself.
It just comes out naturally, though, when you play.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
It's just, I guess, the recording thing is just like, how do you get what you do really cool live to sound great for people to want to listen to over and over again in their headphones, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's got to have something kind of more to it, I think, if it's going down on record, you know?
Do you get scared about how music is all kind of weird now, the business?
That was a great question. I love the way you worded that.
Thank you.
Do you get scared about how music's all kind of weird now?
The business. Well, it is. I mean, it's a little daunting mm-hmm. at times. You know, you had a spike of some doors opened for you. Right. And now when you go through them, what's on the other side?
I feel like it's funny.
Are you trying to get a deal? Are you just going to make a record and put it out? Or do you want to be on Columbia? Yeah, you know what I mean?
Right. The manager is definitely shopping for a deal. So, if that happens, great. If it's the right thing, of course. You know, some deals are just total crap. Like, why would you do that? You know, but some are great. And you can you sometimes make something really great work from a deal. And so, yes, searching for a deal, because having that kind of support behind you is always really awesome. And it kind of lifts you up into a bigger sphere. But at the same time, there's... Doing it the independent way, you obviously have a little bit more freedom with how you want to come across. Right. You're just kind of limited in resources, obviously. So the way I'm viewing it is this.
Well, you can be, because the one thing that the label would be able to offer you is exposure, which right. you've been able to achieve, not with your own songs or a record that you're promoting, but as really the commodity.
Right,
you know?
Exactly.
And
yeah.
I just always wonder now, and I don't know if there's mm-hmm. a right answer or wrong answer, how much more that would even help if it's worth it more to own it yourself and just kind of.
Right. No, I know. I ask myself that all the time. You know, it's like doing it. Yeah.
You know, even from your first record, you know, you could take a song like Hey Mister, they could re-release your albums, you know, license right. those records and do tons of shit that you can't do.
Exactly.
You know?
That's the thing is like, I think they have a much larger reach than I will ever have as an indie, right. you know, girl, no matter how many Kickstarter campaigns I do and this and that. It's like,
did you do a Kickstarter with the last record?
I haven't done any of that yet, really. I did like a small post album release, like to kind of a fundraiser a little bit, like on the last Steady Eye Shaky, but it was like once it was ready, we did like a very small pre-order campaign to basically generate some funds for marketing, you know, once it was out. So that was helpful, but it was, you know, a very small percentage. And I'm thinking about doing that I'm definitely going to do that with the next one if we don't get some sort of deal. I'm going to have to. I'm not like, you know, made of money, unless the Italians come through. A lot of people think I'm made of money for some reason.
I love that phrase. I'm not made of money. Susanna Schaffel, for God's sakes.
Jesus.
What do you want from me?
Oh my God. But, I feel like I lost my train of thought there. So I just wanted to touch on something real quick.
Sorry.
I feel like looking back at my whatever short little music career so far, every 2 years I feel like something happens that's like sort of a spike, whether it's this weird thing like Catfish you know, in 2008 I won this like video contest online and it like spiked like my exposure there. And then there was The Voice. And so it's kind of funny. I'm starting to not worry too much about the future. I think you like live your life. You put all of your little like fishing, you know, rods out there. Yeah, I'm totally using the wrong word there.
Lines, not rods.
Yeah. You put your fishing lines out there and like create a lot of I don't know, different things that hopefully will bite, you know, and something usually does. I think if you're creating and if you're putting yourself out there and doing positive things, like things are going to happen for you. And so that's I'm just kind of trying to keep that motivation going, you know, I'm using the wrong word, momentum.
Right,
I do that
momentum.
A lot.
And also, you know, the fact that you keep yourself open and you don't close mm-hmm. yourself off and say, oh, I'm not going to go on some TV show because that's not my vibe.
Right.
You know,
right.
You keep yourself open, you can you benefit from stuff.
Absolutely.
I know a lot of people, I mean, I know there have been times in my career that had I been more open and not so self-righteous about stuff, I probably would have been happier.
Well, and it's okay to have your standards and your integrity.
Yeah, little integrity.
Like, I actually questioned that a lot when I went on The Voice, like, because some of my friends were like, oh, you're doing The Voice. I got a lot of crap for it. But for me, it felt natural. And, like, I was like, I don't feel like I'm doing myself a disservice by doing this, you know?
To me, an argument about integrity is something you could have in, like, maybe 1997.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
That too.
Then all of a sudden the world changed
and the
only way you could get people to hear your song is on a commercial.
Yeah.
And that, like, you know, if you would have told Kurt Cobain he would have freaked out.
Totally,
you know?
Totally. I know. What would Kurt think now? It's just crazy. Crazy different world than he was in.
He would probably think that he married a very crazy lady, if you ask me. That's all he would be thinking.
That's true. That's probably all he would be thinking.
And that his drummer really turned out to be a great songwriter.
And his drummer was actually the bomb.
Yeah. I was looking up jokes on the way home from Houston yesterday with my friend Paul, the drummer joke, what was the last thing the drummer said before he got fired from the band? Hey guys, why don't we play one of my songs? But that joke doesn't work with him or Phil Collins.
It doesn't.
Or Don Henley.
Yeah. There's a lot of amazing drummers that secretly play guitar and write badass songs, you know? So
Italy, come back, playing shows, looking for a booking agent, thinking about a record.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff.
That is a lot of good stuff.
I'm excited about this show.
Are you going to be playing some new songs at the show on Saturday?
I am. Yeah. I have a lot of new songs. I have probably at least a handful that I'm playing live right now, and then I have a bunch of others that aren't not really playing live because I'm still kind of working out some tweaks with them and how I want them to sound. But if you come to the show now, you will definitely hear a lot of songs you've never heard before that like aren't on the two albums. So.
But then you'll also hear some songs that you came to hear.
Exactly.
And you might
hear Landslide, too. So.
Maybe you'll hear Landslide.
You know what's cool is...
Do you come out and do it by yourself?
I do it by myself, but when the commander is there, he plays the awesome...
Lindsay, the solo.
Exactly. Yeah. The solo that's so beautiful. That's like...
But you had to play an abbreviated version of that song, right?
I did. It's 90 seconds.
90 seconds.
Yeah, I know. But what was cool is when you go in to record it, you get to record the full thing.
Oh, right.
So the iTunes recording is the full however many seconds it is. But
how about those band guys? Were they fun
in
to
the
work
voice?
With?
Yeah. Oh, they were so cool. They were really fun to work with, really sweet. I always tried to just go in there and treat them like they're my band. You know, they were really cool.
They're always on a zero fail mission.
Dude,
that's what I always think.
Those guys,
man, what if somebody fucked up? What if everything stopped and the dude's like,
oh, no.
You know what I mean?
No, I think that all the time. They have the hardest job on that show because they have to learn so many songs
so quickly. Yeah.
And it has to be perfect.
But
there is no
screw-ups.
They're
like Darren, all those guys. And like Rusty.
It's like 10 Darren Murphys.
The commander.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. And the commander, yeah. And I was really, my blind audition was cool because all I had was one guy playing with me. The guitar player, I'm freaking blanking on his name right now. I only met him once and then he went on tour with Pink and there was another guy that subbed for him the rest of the show. But he was so cool. He came up to me beforehand, when I was outside, nervously waiting to go in. He was like, hey, I just want to say, good luck out there. You're awesome. I think this is going to be great. And he just played real beautiful ambient guitar in the background.
Nice guy.
He was really cool. He didn't have to do that, And
I bet at that point there's that feeling of touching something real. When you're standing outside kind of so in your head you could spiral.
Yeah, absolutely. And some people did. And it's... The pressure is really intense.
You don't have to name names, but people did. People freaked out.
Absolutely. Dude, the little kids, I call them little kids. The 15-year-olds and 16-year-olds, I had so much respect for them because I was like, I would have lost my shit if I would have been 15.
But think about
this.
Those fucking kids, they grew up with this.
That's a real thing.
They
have nothing to lose. Like this is the first thing they've ever done kind of thing. So at the same time, it's they're just starting out in their career and they, it's true. They grew up in this weird reality TV. This stuff was not available to us when we were this age.
There was Star Search.
But
that sucked.
Yeah.
But I have friends that were on Star Search.
Did
guys
you really?
That live here, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, friends of mine.
Did they know Justin Timberlake and Britney Spears and stuff?
No, I forgot about that. It was these guys in a band called Toy Subs. I used to have it on videotape.
Oh, cool. I used to love Star Search. I wanted
I liked
to do that.
It. Yeah. Let me ask you this. I noticed that you became friends. I see... friends with a lot of the other contestants.
Yeah.
You guys, do you pal around when you're not working?
We do. What was really cool is Lilia Broussard, who was my battle partner on that Florence and the Machine song, Dog Days Over. Uh-huh. We became really close. In fact, Blake gave a shit about it in one of our rehearsals. He was like, I hear y'all are friends and that's not good. I think they told him to say that, He didn't give a shit. But we were. She was my bar buddy. We'd go and have a drink at the bar, and she lived in Brooklyn, she still does. And
cool.
We found out we were neighbors. We had a lot of the same musical influences.
And you guys do shows together?
She's so awesome. We do shows together. Yeah. There's another girl, Nicole Nelson, who is on Adam's team, and she's wonderful. This really beautiful blues R&B artist from Vermont. And so I actually just crashed with her when I was up there doing a show.
Oh yeah, I saw you were up there.
Yeah. So there's like, there's probably a handful. Melanie Martinez, the girl with the two-tone hair who like everyone loves, such a sweet little songbird. I'm friends with her. Amanda Brown, the badass like rocker hot chick. She made it into like the top four. I'm friends with her. You know, all the cool people. So
that sounds great.
Yeah. You know what? Honestly, at the end of the day, I think that was the best thing I got from that show. Of course, next to the exposure is the really tight friendships you make on the show, because it's such a weird thing you go through.
Right.
And you go through it together. They're the only ones that will ever understand. Like, I think even season to season,
you
know.
Do you and Nikia ever talk about it? Do you ever sit down and go like, God, I remember when...
A little bit, but Nikia's experience was very different than mine. It's funny. I even feel like if you were on a different season than someone, you can't totally
relate.
No, so
he
relate.
Was on the first season when nobody knew what was happening.
Exactly. And I was on a very experimental season. The third season was this, they decided to make the teams bigger, and so there were 16 right. people per team instead of 12.
And it was like two nights a week.
So
it
then
was
there
like
were
four, five, 6 hours a day.
Totally, yeah, six exactly. It was like the there voice was, marathon.
I will say this.
Yeah.
I will say this. I mean, not that I don't have time to sit down and watch a show.
Right.
I don't necessarily want to watch these shows. I don't have DVR.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And I don't even have cable, so I would just sit there and like seriously for like 2 weeks. I think I might have written you at one point and been like, "Can you be on this fucking show?" Because I'm watching like 8 hours of this show
because
a week.
I didn't come on until like the fourth episode or fifth episode. I know all my friends were, and I was like, "Sorry, dudes." Like,
I almost missed it. By that point, I was like, "I'm not gonna watch this anymore."
It sucked because they wouldn't let you. You can't put on your Facebook like because they want everyone to just keep watching.
Of course.
And so I was able to kind of like let my friends and family know, like I all texted them, of course, like you definitely want to watch September 24th,
right.
you know, but other than that, I mean, yeah, I was like, oh my God, who are they going to show? And so they keep you on pins and needles, which is great. That's reality TV. But it was a weird season because
show?
It was a lot more contestants to get through.
If they had like an All-Stars thing. Well, they're doing that
I
with The Apprentice.
I would do it. If they, you know, absolutely. Like, I think it would be fun to go back and be like, hey, how's it going? You know, it's one of those experiences that's like, cool. I was a part of like a little bit of like history on reality TV and, you know, the musical reality TV world. And I'd be fine with going back. There's a lot of like, especially there's a lot of cool producers on that show that made me have more respect for it. You know, it was actually very, everyone treated you very sweet, very kind for the most part. And it wasn't and like a bunch of jerks. You know?
It's a TV show that needs to keep people watching. So they have to keep a level of drama up, but it's not, it makes like American Idol look like the Jerry Springer show.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean?
I watched American Idol the other day. It was like on while I was in a hotel. And I was like, this is horrible. I'm sorry.
Well, even Kelly Clarkson's going and being on The Voice instead
Yeah, totally. It's kind of the lowest common, you know, it's like Nicki Minaj,
like,
I'm just not a fan. You know who I do love is Mariah Carey. I'm a huge Mariah Carey fan.
You?
And she actually comes off as, to me, very like mature and knowledgeable and wise and sweet and kind. Like, Nicki Minaj, I really just wish she would stop talking because her voice isn't.
I haven't seen it.
Quiet when I said
is Randy still there?
Yes, Randy is still there, and Keith Urban is the other dude, and he's nice. Keith Urban seems like a cool dude,
like a nice. Cool dude.
But
I met him a long time ago, way before he was famous.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's got good hair, real nice hair.
Good hair.
And his wife is beautiful.
He's a really good guitar player.
Yeah,
he was.
That's
in this,
what I've heard.
This
yeah.
band called The Ranch. When I met
Rich.
Them, and we had
I
the same
it.
Manager, and
That's
I went.
Great.
It was during South by, and he was like, "Oh, gotta go see this band that I work with. You want to come with me?" And I just remember because they were all Australian playing country music, and
right?
I thought that
you
was
were
really
like, "Whoa,
weird.
What's up with this?"
Yeah, and they lived in like L.A. or something.
Yeah,
what a weird.
That is a weird concept.
Yeah, what's wrong with you guys?
Country music is huge everywhere. It's like it's big, but yeah, the people that get on American Idol, like the singers, even are very like. Flamboyant entertainment. Almost, it feels like Vegas or
and
something.
And they have terrible
you know?
People
like,
to have on there that
right.
you just laugh at
them. Oh, right. They love to
make
fun of people, and it's just harsh.
I always
you know?
Wonder, what's your life like when you walk away from that? And they're like, oh, you're the guy that was that jerk off
right.
that sang that
totally.
Stupid song off key on American, you know what I mean?
Right.
Unless you were trying to be funny.
Yeah, and that's another thing.
But there's
thing.
People
yeah.
on there that really think they're... That's the thing about The Voice, is that people have a pretty good idea of who they are. They
exactly.
don't have some ridiculous, like, well, fuck you then. I'm the
right,
greatest. You know
right,
I mean?
right. No,
you made a big mistake.
Totally,
Keith Urban.
Yeah, you'll regret this someday.
CeeLo.
Yeah, they steer away from that. It's definitely like the producers are definitely looking for more, you know, substance and quality.
You are SusannaShuffel.com.
I am SusannaShuffel.com. Yeah.
You keep it updated.
I do.
You're active on the Twitter.
I'm active on
Facebook,
the Twitter.
And the Instagram.
Yes. All of your favorite social media outlets. I'm there.
You are very good about it.
You know, thank you.
And I don't think it's annoying.
Okay, good. I try not to be. Every now and then I get kind of posty, that's what I call
it. It's a game. You know what I mean?
It's a game.
And some people really don't do it and they're offended by it, but to me it's like people really want to hear what you have to say and they want to see what you had for lunch.
Right.
I know that sounds stupid, but there's people out there that want to see it.
I know. It's like a weird little intimate connection with someone. I mean, shit, I would love, like, I recently started following, like, Questlove, you know, and it's really fun to follow him because it's like you get to see, like, the bands he goes and sees and the sushi he had, like, at some badass restaurant, and, like, he'll promote a lot of people, and it's great. I think it's a really fun little, like, it's completely new. This didn't used to be around in the frickin' 90s or even early 2000s of, like, connecting with, you know, you couldn't see what Amy Mann had for lunch and feel really cool.
I
because
spent a lot of time worrying about that.
Yeah, and totally. I think about it all the time. What is Amy Mann eating right now? But anyway, The Voice made me way more aware of social media, too. Twitter, especially Twitter. I was all up on the Twitter before The Voice, and then...
That's really my favorite.
You do this live tweeting thing during a show, and it's actually really – it's like you start making fun of people, and people come back, and they're like, yeah, that was funny. And it's like having a conversation, you know?
Yeah.
So, silly. I digress.
I was doing that with award shows for a while.
Award shows are really fun because there's style, and there's speeches. There's all kinds of fun things to critique and have fun with.
I said something really horrible. I think it was about Christina Aguilera. But to me, it
She's
was one of my favorite fast-thinking tweet.
Oh, I think I remember that because...
It was Jennifer Hudson and she were singing a song together on the Grammys, but like Jennifer Hudson had slimmed down
right.
and Christina Aguilera had plumped down a little bit.
Puffy.
But I mean, she had a baby.
She did.
Also, I mean, I don't want to hurt people's feelings, but my God, you got to know. Jennifer Hudson's skinnier than you at this point. It's like, wow, something happened. We switched places. What's going on?
Yeah. Kind of weird. Well, and she did the Weight Watchers thing, too. She's like a Weight Watchers
spokesperson. Did you meet her?
Christina Aguilera?
Yeah.
She was always pleasant to me. I will say that. She was nice, but I saw some weird interactions.
Could see that.
And some, she was, you know, she very much keeps that diva thing alive. I will just say that.
Sure.
You know, she's earned it, I guess. You know, she's been singing since she was like 14 on the Disney thing. Although I still don't think that really gives you a right to be nasty.
I don't think people should be nasty. And
it's
always cool to meet somebody like Billy Gibbons that's gracious.
Totally.
And when they
total
really
rock
don't
star.
Have to be.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone else, that's the thing, is like everyone else on the show is really sweet and cool. Like, you know, CeeLo's kind of weird, but he's still cool to you, you know? And Christina, like, she can be sweet, but I just think she's like moody or something. But she just has her moments where it's like, really? Like, why don't you think
I bet
before
to them
speak,
it's also like a lot of work. You know, not...
Yeah. Oh, I can't
I mean,
even,
to them. You
to,
know what
to
I
them.
Mean? Like, oh, someone's telling me to stand here and wait.
Totally.
Like, nobody
totally.
Does that.
I know.
You know what I mean?
I know. Yeah. And she has all her people around her doing the makeup.
That's
and
pretty cool.
Fanning her. I mean, it really is kind of fun to watch. It's like, she is a total diva, you know? Like,
would you do that if you were ever in the position? Would you
oh,
have
hell
a team?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? No.
Did you have a team there?
I probably wouldn't.
The people there, they were doing the makeup and stuff.
Yeah. Did I mean, it wasn't my team. It was Team Voice, but... oh my gosh, that was one of the coolest things about the show. The wardrobe and styling and like makeup and hair. First of all, they're like the coolest people on the show. It's all these badass like ladies who've just been like working in the show business forever.
Sure,
and you're just like, hey
they're
girl,
cool.
what's going on?
Yeah,
and you're talking
yeah.
and they want to know your story. And then they just make you look fabulous.
Yeah, you
like,
looked great every time on
thank
that show.
You. It was so cool. Like you kind of get to become somebody else, you know? It's kind of fun, so... Anyway, I'm a pretty like natural person. I don't wear a ton of makeup and do my hair crazy. So it was particularly fun for me. You know, I think some of the girls that go in there, like they do that shit all day, every day. But like, that's like their persona is like they just wear a ton of makeup and do the big hair.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of whatever. I'm an Austin girl. That's what I blame it on being raised in Austin. It's like, you know, kind of just whatever.
With
so
t-shirts.
Barton Springs, man. Yeah.
You're wearing, you always look cute.
Thanks, dude.
Are we allowed to talk about what you told me in the kitchen around the birthday time about working with my former wife?
Yeah.
Wife. Okay,
of
so
course,
you're talking about doing a video.
Yeah.
For Race Car?
Yeah, I'm finally making like a pro video for it. And the lovely Tracy Gowdy.
Yes.
Who you have name attachment with.
We don't speak, but I am a fan of her work. And I have nothing bad to say about her, really.
I know.
Because I recently got dumped by another girl, which has overtaken my shit talk. I'm just kidding.
So let's talk shit about her. No, I'm just kidding. This suddenly became a completely different podcast. I love it.
And I'm pissed off.
Oh, my God.
So she submitted a treatment. When do you think you're going to shoot this video? Do you know?
Probably in April or May. Okay. Yeah, I got to come back from, like, Italy and get grounded again.
So look for it this summer.
Probably this summer, yeah. But she did a badass treatment for it. It's going to be so cool. Like, the visual, like, the effects are just very stunning. And I'm a big fan of her work. I was a huge Patty Griffin fan back in the day. And you know that Tracy did all of her stuff. And that's where I first became aware of her.
Right.
And then I met you. And I was like, oh, wait, Gowdy, y'all are both cool. This is too much. So
I was out one night. I went to go see Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers with David and Ian McLaughlin and Samara. And me and Ian went to go get a drink afterwards. And so we were walking out of there. And I was like, man, I haven't been to the Irwin Center to see a big concert in a long time. And he's like, oh, last time I was here, I was with your sister. And I was like, Nicole? He was like, you're like, that's weird. Tracy. And I was oh, she's not my sister, man.
Sorry, that's my ex-wife.
But I thought that was a good compliment. He was like, oh, because you guys remind me of each other is what he said.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. That's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, I like your Ian
Maybe
impression.
She's funny. Awesome. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably terrible.
Maybe I thought it was great. Sounds like him. Sounds a lot like him.
Sort of make every English person sound like John Houseman.
Totally.
I got a problem. Is there anything else that we're missing? SusannaSchauffele.com. Get out there.
I just want to say thank you, Johnny Gowdy, for my birthday cake and Justin Bieber card and
the movie American Dreams.
Yeah, which is about a reality show.
It's about a reality singing show, and also there's a plot to kill the president,
which is kind of the coolest movie.
Yeah,
plot
I don't know
ever.
If that happened when you were on The Voice. Well, there was anyone that came.
That was gonna be my story. I was trying to get them to take that angle, and they were like, "No, the music teacher thing." And I was like, "Okay, fine."
I think what's gonna happen is at the end of the season on the show American Dreams with a Z, so you know it's good.
Because you know it's good. Anything with a Z for an S is always good.
Always.
Yeah.
That's how you emphasize greatness.
Totally. Like Suze, Zanna, you know? You got the Z.
Suze. the president's going to be the judge at the very end of the season. And so they get a guy to audition and do this thing. But really, all he wants to do is dance.
Of course.
So it's a good show. You got Mandy Moore. You got Dennis Quaid.
Dude, you can't go wrong.
I think Malkovich is even in it.
What?
No. Who's the guy that played Jesus? Martin Scorsese
Willem Dafoe.
Willem Dafoe is in it. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's great, awesome.
And the handsome guy, Hugh Grant.
Oh,
from the 90s.
Yeah. The handsome guy from the 90s, Hugh Grant.
Handsome hooker guy.
He's fabulous.
So you're welcome for the presents and the cake. You got to take that cake with you because I'm expanding.
I'll take it and I'll eat it too or something. I'll have it and I'll eat it too.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah, have your cake and eat it too. Yeah,
it's that kind of birthday. So.
It is. Well, happy birthday!
Thank you,
and,
Johnny.
I will not reveal your age on the show.
No, my LA age is no. I'm just kidding. 25. It's cool. It's all good. So yeah,
mine's 32. My LA age.
Awesome. It's good.
It's gonna be really bad when I'm like
when you're 90.
60. No, man, I'm 32.
I just age really well. I'm Cuban. That's what you have to say.
That's right.
Yeah, Cuban just use that bloodline.
Look at Fidel. He's not getting
totally.
It.
Totally.
It's like the only Cuban. Look at Scarface.
Look at Scarface.
I guess that's it. I'm going to go see you on Saturday. Will you put me on the guest list?
I will totally put you on the guest list.
I'll be there.
Yep.
And I will go.
I'll even give you a plus one.
No way.
Yeah.
Good, because I've got someone staying with me.
Perfect.
I think you know her. Do you know Nicole Knoffel? She manages Black Taxi.
I don't know if I know
her. She's a fan of yours.
But I would like to know her. Yeah. Maybe when I see her, I'll know her. Maybe. Sometimes I'm bad with names.
Me too.
Good with faces, though.
Yep. Good with faces, bad with names. Mm-hmm.
Which is better. So.
Tell Paula Vasey I said hi.
I will.
And I love him. And I'm going to go back up to New York and play
you have to.
Hopefully soon.
And next time I'll
maybe
go.
Maybe we can go.
So
maybe we'll do a show together when I go up there.
That would be badass. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I love you.
I love you too.
Thanks for coming on the show. Happy birthday.
My pleasure.
Oh, I love hanging out with Susanna. so glad she was able to come over today. I'm glad she's in town. I'm really looking forward to going and seeing her Saturday. You guys should go out and see her. That's Saturday, March 9th, 2013, at Threadgills here in Austin. If you're not in Austin, you know, look her up, man. Check her out. She's really an amazing artist. She's got a couple of great albums out. I'm looking forward to this new album that she's going to make. She's put out some singles. And looking forward to the race car video. And I'll play race car here at the end. I just wanted to remind you, go to iTunes, subscribe to this podcast. If you're listening to it for the first time and you like it, subscribe to it. While you're there, rate it with the stars. Go over, write a comment, because that helps us. It helps our ratings, our overall ratings with iTunes. That also will help us sell advertising, which will keep this podcast free to you, the listener. Because, you know, there's going to be a lot of new changes coming up. Okay, but first I got to deal with South by Southwest. A lot of stuff going on, a lot of stuff in the air. I've got a lot of emails out. I'm waiting to hear back from people. I am going to be on Charlie Hodges' show, doing a live thing. I'm going to be doing a couple podcast things, and just basically running around interviewing people. I'll be at the awards. It's going to be fun, but it's going to be crazy. So subscribe to us on iTunes so that this show stays free. Rate us, and also leave a comment. And if you'd like to keep up with things, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here, on Facebook. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Johnny Gowdy, and Instagram, at Johnny Gowdy. So that's a lot of information for you. Let's get to the song Race Car that Susanna is going to make the video for with Tracy Gowdy, who I used to be married to, and is a fantastic video director and a great artist. Here you go. Race Car, Susanna Schauffele. Let's get down, people.
Till outside.